I want to be honest with you right at the beginning. I'm not going through this text verse by verse explaining every little detail. I'm focusing on one little detail which I believe is important to at least understand chapter 13 to 17, if not the whole of the Gospel of John. And you can challenge me on that later. It's a little detail we find. If you look with me at verse 15 again, we see Jesus telling his disciples, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Jesus has given his disciples an example to follow, and the question is, what is this example they ought to follow? And I think, unfortunately, the answer nowadays is often the same. The answer most Christians would give is, it's the washing of the feet, it's the serving the disciples. And there's some truth in this answer. It's not that it's totally wrong, but I think it's starting with step two before we have begun with step one. And I think it might be provocative to say that if we start by serving, we start with a liberal approach to this passage. We lose our Redeemer. Because if it's all about serving, all we have left is Jesus as a moral example we are following. And we are losing the core of our faith. I think the example we should follow is not serving, but something else. And to understand that, we have to jump back to the beginning of our passage. At the end of verse 1, we have this phrase, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." I think this is the crucial detail we have to understand at the beginning of this passage. John inserts this comment for us to understand what is to follow. He could have put it to the end. He could put it anywhere in his gospel. It's not adding to the flow of the text. It's interrupting the flow of the text, this little comment. And he's doing that on purpose. Because the question for John is not what Jesus is doing, but why he is doing what he is doing. And that should be our question. Why are we doing what are we doing? So the example we have to follow is not serving at the first place, but is loving each other. And so that's why the title this morning is "Love One Another as Christ Has Loved You." And the first point we are looking at is Jesus' love for his disciples, or for his apostles rather. Because that's what is described here. That's what we see. It's the love of Jesus for his apostles. It's the love of Jesus that leads him to wash his disciples' feet. We read, "He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself." And this is a verse we read often, or we might overread it, but we don't understand really what's happening here. Jesus took off his garments and he was standing there in his underwear, taking a towel as a kind of apron to gird himself, and then he started washing his disciples' feet. And he was kneeling before the feet of his 12 men, humiliating himself voluntarily. He was willing to do the lowest work possible. He was kneeling there and he had a mixture out of dirt and dust and sweats, and he was washing it away. It was such a lowly work that if you had a Jewish slave, you were not allowed to force him to wash another Jew's feet. Only pagans were allowed to do that. But here is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he's willingly washing his disciples' feet. And in doing so, he's doing more than just serving. He's setting an example. It is his love that he's showing to his apostles. And this becomes clear in the conversation he has with Peter, doesn't it? Because Peter is the one who understands actually here's something wrong. Jesus shouldn't be the one washing our feet. We should be the ones washing his feet. He is our Lord and Master. And so Peter says, "You shall never wash my feet." So what does Jesus answer? Jesus answers, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." There's a need of Jesus washing the feet. And Peter still doesn't understand. He thinks, if Jesus has to wash me, then he has to wash everything. So wash my feet, wash my hands, and wash my head. But Jesus said, that's not the point. That's not the point of washing your feet. He who is bathed, says Jesus, needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. See, if you shower in the morning, you don't shower every time you enter a house. You don't start to wash you again. You might wash your hands, you take off your shoes, and in those days, one of the most important parts was to wash your feet because you were walking around in sandals and the roads were dirty and dusty and your feet were the same after an hour or two. And this is a picture that Jesus gives us here. He uses this image of washing the feet and he makes a difference between being bathed, being washed completely, and having the need of clean feet. I think he makes a distinction between salvation and cleaning from sin. See, Jesus assumes that his disciples are clean. They are bathed. He assumes that at one point, and it will be Pentecost, they will experience the bath of regeneration through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, they don't need to be bathed again. They don't need to be saved again. Nevertheless, their feet, he says, need to be washed. And this is a picture of the daily repentance of our sins we have committed and the receiving of forgiveness of those sins. That's the love of Jesus till the end. This is the love of Jesus who brought him to the cross. He died for his people because he loved his people, but he continues to love his own till the end. His love continues every day when you come with your sins and you confess them to him, he cleans you again. That's the promise we have in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, isn't it? The continuous cleaning of our sins. And this image of the washing of the feet is a great image that shows us Jesus' love for his people. Again and again, if necessary, several times a day, Jesus kneels down and washes the feet of his disciples. That love that Jesus had to motivate him to wash the feet of the apostles is the love that motivates him to forgive us. And it does not stop at the cross. The love didn't end at the cross. It will end when we are sinless in his glory, because there's the need no more to be washed. And this leads us to the second point this morning. I have already begun to hint at it. It's not only the love for the apostles, it's also Jesus' love for us. That's the second point. Jesus' love for us. We could say, strictly speaking, in the context, he's washing the feet of his 12 apostles. So it's his love for his 12 apostles. Can we assume that he also loves us this way? And I would argue the answer is yes. Because if we look at chapter 17, when Jesus is praying for his apostles, he says in verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words." So Jesus is not only concerned about his 12 men he had chosen, but also for those who come to faith through their words. And that is us, isn't it? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you belong to this group of people who Jesus prays the high priestly prayer for. Because let's think about, how did you come to faith? How did you start to believe? Maybe it was a sermon that convicted you. The word of God preached to you. The word of the apostles preached to you. Or maybe a friend explained the gospel to you and you understood it, which is again the words of the apostle explained to you. Or maybe you grew up in a Christian home and your parents were faithful and explained the words of God to you, which at the end are also the words of the apostles. That the gospel they proclaimed, that we proclaim, so that we believe. And so I believe this love that Christ shows here in chapter 13 is the same love he has for us. And that means you can come to him with any sin, and he's always ready to wash you clean. He's always ready to forgive you. There's no sin that is too big for Jesus. And there's no sin that is too small, because the smallest sin deserves God's judgment. You can't come too often. There's not a limit. Jesus doesn't say, I forgive you 100 times and then it's over. You can come day by day. Christ loves you. He laid down his life for you. He shed his blood for you. If you have sinned, brothers and sisters, come to Jesus. Receive forgiveness. If you struggle with sin, come to Jesus and receive forgiveness. You see, there's this word where Jesus said to Peter, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will afterwards, or you will know after this. Peter was pride. How often did Jesus have to forgive the pride of Peter? And then on the day Jesus was on trial, Peter denied Jesus. But Jesus came to Peter and he forgave him. He asked him, do you love me? And Peter said under tears, I love you. And Jesus didn't throw Peter out because he betrayed him. He gave him a work to do. Feed my sheep. He forgave Peter's sin. So don't think your sin is too big for Jesus to forgive. He loves you. Jesus' love doesn't end. He loves you to the end. But let me also say this, if you don't believe, it won't do you any good. You see, Jesus says, and you are clean, but not all of you, because he knew who betrayed him. He kneeled down to wash Judas' feet. But for Judas, the washing of the feet was useless, because he was never bathed with the Holy Spirit, with the bath of regeneration. Judas was with Jesus for 3 years or longer, and it did not help him, because there was a lack of faith in Jesus Christ, a lack of trust. And if you do not know with all of your heart and trust wholeheartedly that Jesus came for you, became man for you to take your sin to the cross, I will plead with you that you will plead with God until you have this trust, that until you have this assurance. Because if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will miss out on the love of Jesus Christ. If you do not believe, there is no forgiveness of sins for you. But let's consider one more thing in conclusion. And that is our love for each other. And this brings us back to verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, we've figured out already that it can't only be the serving. But it's love. The example that Jesus has given us is the love for his apostles, for us. And we should love each other as Jesus has loved us. See, if we look at verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And here it is, isn't it? You say it's about love, but Jesus says it's about washing the feet. So is it about serving at the end? Have I been wrong the whole time? Yes, it's about serving. Jesus doesn't say we should not serve. But every service in the Church of Christ has to have the right motivation. Every service we do must be done out of love. Because we have so many bad examples in church history, what happens if love is lacking? We have the Christians who complain that they are the only ones who do everything and no one else is helping. We have pastors, bishops, cardinals, popes who took advantage of their position. And unfortunately, instead of seeing the office of an elder as the lowest ministry in the church, people think it's a position where everyone else is below me and I have power and I can use that power. But that's not our Lord Jesus Christ, is it? That's not how he came. He humbled himself. And Jesus' example shows us that we have to humble ourselves for our brothers and sisters and are willing to do the lowest work because we love them, not because we rule them. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If Christ, our Lord and Master, humbled himself to the lowest work he could find, shouldn't we be willing to do the same because we love our brothers and sisters? And we can only do this, we can only humble ourselves if we love each other. What Jesus is showing here, above all, is love for those who God has given to him. And we are to imitate this love. This is not read into this passage. This is right out of the context. At the same day, at the same hour, in the same room, Jesus says this in chapter 15. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Love of Jesus brought him to the cross for us. That's the lowest ministry he could have done. Dying a painful, shameful death at the cross. And that's why we should love one another. And that's what John picks up in his letter, doesn't he? In 1 John 3 verse 16 it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Would you be willing to die for this congregation? That's the question that John is asking us here, isn't he? And then in chapter 4 of the same letter he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Well, there's a question that I got asked and I ask myself sometimes. Are we even able to love like Christ? Is it even possible to love like that? The answer is obviously no, because we can't imitate God perfectly or Christ perfectly. But that's not the reason to give up, is it? For love is not an option as a Christian. It is the fruit of renewal in us. So it's not about if we can love perfectly as Christ loved us. It's about loving at all. John also says to us, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." We might not be as perfect as Christ, and we will never be. But we can love one another because we are born of God. And this love can grow. and we can make everything possible to make it grow. If we have truly understood what Christ has done for us, then we love. See, there's the story in Luke 7, where Jesus is with a Pharisee. And there comes this woman, she's called a sinner. And she washes Jesus' feet with her tears. And then she dries his feet with her hair. And then she took the most expensive oil she could find to anoint his feet. And everyone was astonished and shocked that this woman was even allowed to approach Jesus' feet. But here's what Jesus concludes. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. The question, dear friends, is not if you can love one another. The question is, do you know that many of your sins are forgiven? Amen.